Moncrief on News Talk.
Would you like to be a traitor or a faithful?
I didn't come here to be a faithful. I came here to be a traitor. I came here to play the game.
If I'm the one doing the killing, there's less a chance of me being killed, isn't there? The odds are in my favour.
Would you consider yourself loyal?
Yeah, I'm definitely loyal.
But you'd have no problem stabbing somebody in the back?
Yeah.
I couldn't see myself playing the game any other way.
That's The Traitors Ireland. It started last night on RTE1 television. It's on again tonight and on Tuesday night. And of course, you can catch up with the whole thing on the RTE player. James Dempsey is with us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon, Sean.
I imagine, though, when it's a format programme, it's not going to be dramatically different to, say, the UK version.
No. In fairness to the UK one, the Claudia Winkleman-led one, they went originally rogue on the whole format. So the format was created by this Dutch guy named Mark Poos. He was the original director on Big Brother when it started in the Netherlands. He has directed the Eurovision Song Contest. And he came up with this idea of the format, which is essentially the game Mafia or Wolf, I think Werewolf is sometimes called as well, where you're trying to find out who the bad seed amongst the rest of you is and trying to get them out before they get you out. He came up with it after reading a novel and wanted to create this celebrity version of the show where people would be on a ship and forced to walk the gangplank and get and go diving into the sea, and thought,
cool.
Well, actually might be a bit hard to film. And then the pandemic happened, and after shipping it around for 6 years, he finally sold the format to Dutch TV and then the world. And yes, we're a relative latecomer to it, but like the British one, ours involves normal people rather than celebrities, which is actually the Dutch original one. Now, what I really liked about this was we have the advantage of being late to the game to deciding for, the advantage we have is the version that RTE is producing here is is a learned version, right? They've seen the strengths and weaknesses of various different ones and applied that. And without a doubt, the star of it is Siobhan McSweeney, obviously best known for her role in Derry Girls. But she has hosted a show like, this kind of reality competition before in the Great Pottery Throwdown. And right from the beginning, she has the right tone. The tone is kind of tongue-in-cheek and jokey and like faux seriousness. It's camp. She is getting it. She's styled very well. I mean, she's walking around like she's from Irish, like some sort of Irish mythical figure with a pack of giant wolfhounds, with every move. And I think what worked really well for me was her as the host. The host is a kind of funny job in a show like this because her job is to kind of guide us, the viewer who already knows everything, and to not really influence the players, right? As in, it's really important that when she's talking to them, she's not sort of going, well, did you see what he did over there? In a kind of way that might get them to, turn their attention in the wrong direction deliberately. So I think it's a kind of surprisingly more difficult version, but I put it this way, I prefer her to Claudia Winkleman, who, for me, to be honest, it doesn't really do an awful lot in the Traitors UK, despite the fact that people really seem to think she does. Now, at the same time, because we're coming late to this, we've also seen versions of this before. And I mean, the RTE player currently has the British one, the Australian one, I think the American one as well, but I'm open to correction. And we have seen this show before. And as a viewer, the only kind of thing that disappointed me about it was that when it came to the big money earning challenge, that's something I'd seen before. That exact format is something I'd seen before, if not once or twice, on various different versions. So I don't know when you buy the format if they come prepackaged with various challenges you have to do, but that was my only niggle. It was something that I had seen before and it wasn't particularly new or novel. Obviously, this is only the opening night of the show, and the exciting bit comes when fingers get pointed and accusations with absolutely, like, the most spurious accusations with completely no evidence behind them get made with the confidence of people sitting in front of cameras. And that really is when the show is at its absolute best. So we didn't get a round table last night. We did get our three traitors. They are, I don't know if it'll count as a spoiler. I mean, there are three people who are going to be doing, murdering and have murdered someone who we will find out this evening. But I thought it was I don't mean this as faint praise. I thought it was a totally competent opening to the show. It knew the tone it was striking and it hit it. The cast of characters are yet to really reveal themselves because we've only seen the one episode, but they all seem to know what show they're on and seem happy. We had a surprise father-son pair who didn't know that both were going to be on it. That isn't a spoiler, but that's perhaps the biggest revelation of the opening episode. But other than that, definitely it hit the right note, and I'm intrigued to see where it's going to go.
And the setting, because I remember reading that they were having difficulty finding a place that, you know, that the look that they wanted. Is it in Slane Castle they shoot it?
Yeah, I thought that they perhaps missed a trick on not the pun of Slane being also murdered, as, you know, a great advantage for Slane Castle. The castle looks great. I thought maybe the only other slight quibble I had was it was whoever was operating the drone camera at the beginning was really going, giving it gusto with lots of like sharp cuts and you know, and zooming around turrets and, well, maybe saying various archaeological architectural features that I'm not equipped to speak to. But no, I thought the castle looked great. Look, all in, I thought it was a really, really promising start. And if it continues in that vein, I think, you know, I think that this could really work.
Yeah. Why do you think they're running it across, or is this what they do in the other format? So they run it across three nights and then there's a gap.
Yeah, this is what they do in the other formats as well. I just think it's the very nature of the game, which is this idea, you know, it began, as we, you know, it began with 24 participants right at the very beginning, and they let's just say a couple of people didn't make it all the way to the end of the episode, and that is a huge cast of characters, so they need to kind of unfortunately get rid of people for us as viewers to actually understand who's playing the game and what their various strengths and weaknesses are. We as omniscient viewers, so far the only thing we know is who the traitors are and who the potential murder victims are, but we don't really know the characters yet. And with a large cohort, you know, 22 now sitting in the castle, that's a lot of people to kind of get rid of before we can have a real kind of character emerge.
Yeah. Even on the basis of one episode, this might be an unfair question. Was there anybody you thought, oh yeah, they'll be interesting?
To me, not particularly yet. What I'm always thinking, like, I mean, I would be the literal absolute worst person at the traitors because I have no poker face at all. And if I was the traitor, I literally would just be laughing at all the people. I'm like pathetic. But what I'm always looking for in a good traitor is someone who's absolutely getting ready to throw the other traitors under the bus and claim the prize money only for themselves. That's what I want to see. And that's the kind of manipulation I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. So it will be huge then.
I think it's going to be a big hit.
Yeah. Right. Our next show is Atomic. New episodes every Thursday on Sky Atlantic and Now TV. Here's a clip.
Max, yeah?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Max. So you think you're mad, Max, do you, Max? Driving around the desert, delivering drugs, doing mad shit, yeah?
No, I don't.
Right, so is this a lot of kind of shoot, explain a bit of plot, shoot?
Yeah, very much so. So it comes from Gregory Burke, who's a Scottish playwright. He's probably best known for 71. It's a film set in the Troubles in Belfast with a British soldier kind of running for his life. And he's involved for the recent remake of Rebus, I think it's like a detective-y stuff that was on the BBC. But it is based on a book called The Atomic Bazaar by a difficult to pronounce writer, William Langenvisha is what I'm going to say. Anyway, and that is a non-fiction book that explores the proliferation of post-USSR Soviet weapons and uranium all over the world and how that's being passed around and things that probably would keep us very much awake at night. So this is a drama centered around Alfie Allen, late of Game of Thrones, who plays Max, who is a drug courier driving through North Africa when his convoy, or one rather, gets pulled over by some religious fundamentalists. And instead of suffering for that, he ends up pairing up with one of them. He won't give his name to Max, so he is nicknamed JJ, which is Jihadi John. And that's the tone we're going for here. It is very much tongue-in-cheek. You know, it's a bit like those episodes of Top Gear where they would do mad driving around a desert, except with nuclear weapons attached to the back of them. Now, also, we have Samira Wiley, late of The Handmaid's Tale and Orange is the New Black, as Cassie Elliott, who is a CIA agent, not a spoiler, who is set in Lebanon and is on their tail. But there's a bit of Irish interest as well. We have Breen Gleeson as her boss and Charlie Murphy as Letitia, who's Max's girlfriend. Now, all in, there have been two episodes of five released, and certainly what this is packed full of is action, right? Right from the get-go, there are frenetic scenes, lots of stunts, shooting here and there. For me, the biggest issue was the plot wasn't quite as well produced as the acting. I kind of didn't really believe the instant friendship between, well, not quite instant, but semi-instant friendship and camaraderie between these two erstwhile enemies. And then there's a lot of kind of red herrings and plot threads left unpulled, but as of, we're only two episodes in, so I've yet to see exactly where it goes. For me, it fits into that vein of Sky dramas that are sort of just good enough to keep you interested, but never quite good enough to be absolutely standout, incredible stuff.
Okay, fair enough. It's not going to hurt you. It's maybe a kind of a hangover on the couch kind of job.
That is exactly what it is. That is 100% what it is.
Okay, well, we'll move from a hangover show to, oh my God, am I having an acid flashback show? This is called Women Wearing Shoulder Pads. Here's a clip.
Power. Money.
Ah, ¿estás bien?
Claro que estoy bien. Soy rica.
Desire.
Right, James, you need to explain when somebody turns this on what they will see. They will see like their puppets.
Yeah, so this is best described as Wallace and Gromit meets Pedro Almodóvar. So if you're a fan of his, you know, the Spanish auteur's beautiful colored walls and female characters that are brittle and interesting and fierce and have checkered paths, but told through the form of stop motion animation in 10-minute chunks, I've found the one for you. Right. So I have to admit, I was incredibly charmed by this. It is on, you know, it's on Channel 4, so you can stream it in the Adult Swim section of Channel 4, which is an American. Adult Swim is the late night version of the Cartoon Network, so geared more towards older audiences. And it comes from a guy named Gonzalo Cordavo, who is an Ecuadorian-American comedian, stand-up. He has written on Tuca and Bertie, a very short-lived but well-received animation. He also wrote on Adam Ruins Everything and for the recent Academy Awards. And this is entirely in Spanish, and in Ecuadorian Spanish, I should say it that. It follows our lead character, Marioneta Negocios, who is a business, kind of a socialite in Quito in Ecuador, who wants to encourage people to stop eating guinea pigs and to love them as pets, who runs afoul of Doña Quispe, who runs the biggest guinea pig butchery type situation CEO. Yeah. So what you get here is a lot of women in shoulder pads. It's set in the 1980s. It is utterly camp. My absolute favorite part of it is at times they'll interrupt the stop motion when it calls upon to have real, you know, human hands or human feet or a human mouth take the role. And it is, you know, like while applying makeup or, you know, fastening a shoe or something like that. And the kind of juxtaposition is so silly and daft that it is absolutely hilarious.
You probably don't remember any of the Jerry Anderson kids show Thunderbirds or any of those.
Yeah,
but they were puppets. You could see the strings half the time. But when they close up on hands, they'd use real hands. And like even a six-year-old would go, that doesn't make any sense. You can't have real hands.
Well, they do that here for comic effect. And it is really, really funny. Now, look, as I said, this is, you know, this is niche, without a doubt, right? But they are only 10-minute long episodes. There will be 8 of them in total. Eventually, the plan will be to release them as a feature film or, you know, connect them all together. And when they do that, they're going to do a dubbed version into English. But like, it's 2025. And I think most of our viewers and discerning Moncrief TV on the Radio listeners are okay with subtitles at this point. I would say give it a go. And if it's not for you, that's absolutely fine.
the stop motion, is it like what you'd recognize in Wallace and Gromit, or do they seem more like puppets? Is it more like Sesame Street or?
Originally the plan was to do it completely with marionettes, but then the creator Cordavo, he realized that that was just like too difficult to do and might be completely and utterly off-putting for the viewer. So we're looking more at a Wallace and Gromit type stop motion. It's not like, it's not, you know, it's not people in suits. This is claymation made by a Mexican studio that specializes in this, and the style of it is really unique and really bizarre, but I found it very funny.
Is there some reason why it's in Ecuadorian Spanish? Is that to be faithful to the story, or is that just the person who commissioned it?
So the guy who created it, he is Ecuadorian himself. He spent his first few years of his life in Ecuador. Now, our main character, Marionetta, is actually from Spain in it. So she speaks European Spanish. Everyone else, what I found interesting when I was reading into it was they said that they spent, you know, however long, a couple of weeks, months writing the show. And then they spent just as long translating it correctly into Ecuadorian Spanish with Ecuadorian slang, contemporary slang to the time period. So it is an absolute labor of love. And yeah, it's absolutely bizarre. But look, I really liked it.
Right, so those three shows are The Traitors Ireland, that's running Sundays, Mondays and Tuesdays on RTE1. You can catch up on the RTE Player. Atomic, new episodes every Thursday on Sky Atlantic and Now TV. And Women Wearing Shoulder Pads are new episodes every Monday on Adult Swim on Channel 4. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.